Conananian.
You idiot. That was Tim McGraw, the country singer. I haven't lived this down yet.
Well, I'm glad she called you an idiot because I was about to do that.
Well, you know, and this, I'm telling you, Tom, I feel like a dope ever since this happened because I just, but I was probably thinking about a car at the time in my own defense.
You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home?
Car Doctor.
First of all, in 92, this was sort of a primitive Pete compared to today's modern vehicles in terms of diagnostics. You can go in with an OBD1 scan tool, a little square plug.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I saw the future yesterday, and it was quite an experience. I have seen what will shape our society, I think, probably for the next 40 years in terms of automobiles. I see where we're going clear as day. Hunter Engineering came out to see us yesterday, and they've got a new-to-market ADAS machine, Advanced Driver Assist, you know, with the when we talk about, you hear us talking about aiming cameras and radar and laser and, you know, the blind spot mirrors you've got and the cameras you've got in your car and the adaptive cruise control and lane change guidance and all the bells and whistles and safety features that they want all the cars to have. Well, Hunter has a machine. They've put together a product that will help calibrate and service these systems. And they needed a place to try it out, and they picked us, and they showed up at the shop yesterday. We knew they were coming, and it was interesting. How will this work? We know how it'll work in a dealership where you've got, you know, acres and acres of space, but how will it work in a three-bay repair shop? You know, a typical scenario setup that's really what I believe to be the majority of shops across the country and probably around the world. It was interesting. My first observation was that in order to do some of the calibrations we were working on, and we did a Subaru and we did a, what was the other one we did? It wasn't a Hyundai, it was a Toyota, I think it was, two Japanese vehicles. And in order to do the calibrations, half the car was in the bay, half the car was outside. But to make the car level, we had to chalk it up on 2x4s to maintain level of the car because ride height's important. And I think we have to work on that. I think as a shop owner, if I were to jump into this, I would probably extend the paving from the end of the garage door out to cover the length of the car. I'd have to think of a way to do that a little bit more accurately, but it was the workaround for yesterday. And like I said, this is a little bit of a work in progress. The industry is slowly adapting. How do you get everybody on board to be able to do this? How does the average shop get to be able to do this? And that's the problem, because the average shop is going to have to be able to do this unless they don't plan on working on radiators, taking bumpers off, ever dealing with windshields, ever dealing with bulbs. Some of the simple everyday things that independent repair shops do that in order to continue to do, you're going to have to be able to calibrate the ADAS systems, the cameras, the radar, the systems that keep everybody safe on the road. I also saw the future in the sense that you've all got a problem. some of the calibration requirements when you bring in a vehicle to get calibrated. So you accidentally knock the mirror off your new car and the blind spot mirror, and it has to be replaced. And you've accepted the fact that that mirror is probably a $500 or $600 item, and that's probably cheap on some of the vehicles. But now it's got to be calibrated because there's sensors and controls in there that warn you of oncoming traffic and some of the other safety features. So to baseline the vehicle, and it was kind of nice the way the Bosch machine pointed out that Hunter's using. Actually, I think it's the Hunter machine. It's the Bosch machine that Hunter's using. That's right. It's Hunter branded. I think it's been put together in conjunction with the two of them. and that it points out that the vehicle has to be full of gas, empty, you know, no excess luggage, no excess cargo. Okay, the wheel alignment has to have been checked or done. You have to know that the vehicle is in alignment. If the vehicle is not in alignment, you can't do a calibration. You can, but it'll be wrong, and it'll affect how the vehicle operates. And I started thinking about, you know, I started looking through the repairs of the week last night. So we had a few cars that came in that, you know, they're not trying to make them perfect per se. They're trying to get by. One is a 2002 Toyota Camry that the owner's daughters are coming back from college, and he's not so worried about the rear. One of the rear struts is starting to leak oil, and it's not affecting safety. It's not affecting handling per se, but it is. It can't be in a line, and it's not going to ride as well as it could. We didn't want to do the strut. We just fixed the noisy links. Okay. And there was a couple of other cars where you're not cutting corners, but, you know, you're not maintaining it tip-top. And you guys do it yourselves, right? You've all got cars in the driveway, or your neighbor has a car in the driveway that they're just using. It's the runaround car, or the excuse becomes, hey, I just go down to the train station with it. I don't travel far. I'm not out on the highway. Or it's my city car. I go three blocks this way, three blocks that way. And, yeah, the alignment doesn't have to be just right, and the front end isn't as tight as it used to be, and I can get away with it. Not anymore. All that stuff's done. That vehicle won't pass calibration. And in some cases, if the calibration isn't passed, the vehicle becomes difficult to operate. It's warning lights on the dashboard. And I've got to think that if they have their way, and by they, I mean the government, they're going to require ADAS calibration as part of state safety inspections. I bet that's coming next. I really do. It's going to tie in and affect everything. And I couldn't help but say to myself, what does this cost? What would this go out the door priced at? We calibrated two cars. I made some phone calls, talked to, it was a Nissan. It was a Nissan and a Subaru. That's right. And I talked to a friend of mine over at Nissan. Nissan, on average, at this particular dealership, gets $350 if they're just doing cameras. If they're doing cameras and the radar with mirrors, it's a little over $550. So, you know, to you, what does that mean to you, the consumer? So you knock that mirror off. So it's the price of the mirror plus the install plus the calibration. So now all of a sudden the $600 mirror becomes $1,200. And, you know, if it's that old beater car, I don't know, you know, they're going to raise the standard of an automobile to the point that I just don't think a lot of people are going to want to deal with it or be able to deal with it. You know, the cheap car is gone. That $500 beater that so many people drove in high school back in the day. That cheap car that ran for 2 years just to get by while you were trying to get to the next level in life. When I say I've seen the future, I really think I've seen a societal change. Something that is going to affect society in so many ways. And right down to the point, we had a conversation yesterday, the gentleman from Hunter, we were talking about the impact. Where's this really leading? Because you have to look three steps down the road, no pun intended. They're trying to get it to the point where it's self-driving cars. This is the next evolution. This is the first step of the evolution to get the self-driving cars. And the safety features and the safety systems that they're going to develop and the methods by which to repair and calibrate and maintain these systems will lead to self-driving cars. Conversation yesterday, every time self-driving cars comes up, this inevitably comes up the fact that, and I've seen the reports, they'd seen the reports, and we both concurred, they're expecting automobile accidents in the United States alone to drop in 90%. You're going to have 8 to 10% accidents. That's it. You'll see less body shops. You'll see, you won't need insurance companies. Insurance premiums are going to be different because there won't be any accidents. The car is going to see the car is going to see the next car. There'll still be accidents, unfortunately, but they're trying to get, it's all about safety. They're trying to get this so that, you know, we live in a safe society, a safe environment. I'm not getting political. I'm not talking about what I believe in or what I accept. I'm just reporting the news, folks. So be aware, there's some very different changes coming to the automobile. I've touched it. I've seen it. I'm going to continue to get involved in it and continue to report on it because I think that's what you want to hear. But be aware that when you go out to buy a new car or anything, you've got ADAS on cars going back at least 7 or 8 years, maybe longer, but you're going out to purchase something in the last 3-4 years or brand new, chances are it's got a camera on it. Chances are it's got safety features on it. Chances are it's got to go through calibration, when you have repairs made. And it's not just body shop stuff. Danny and I were talking about this. Are we going to get involved? And I said, I don't think we have a choice. If we take a bumper off to do a headlight, if we take a bumper off to do a radiator or an AC condenser, if we take a bumper off to work on suspension, and we're going to affect it. It was kind of unbelievable. As I was centering the machine, I was off 2 millimeters to the left, centering the cameras against the machine to get to the center line. And you're sitting there and it's pop, 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 pop. And then you go 1 millimeter too far to the right and then you got to come back 1 millimeter to the left. You're sitting there flying the plane, as we called it, fidgeting for the better part of 5 minutes, just in some cases, just trying to. And I have a smooth floor in the shop. And we talked about that. We talked about redesigning the wheels. And they said, the problem is we'll go out into repair shops where the floors aren't as smooth as this, where they're a little bit pitted, they're a little bit beat up. And you'll be sitting there juggling the machine for a lot longer than 5 or 6 minutes. So it's very different. Until you've seen it done, you won't get it. It's just, it's amazing. We should get a video up. We should get that machine back in the shop and do a little video showing you what ADAS calibration is. I'll put that on the schedule for this year. Not right away, but sometime this year we'll get that up on YouTube. Anyway, that's my story as I open this hour of the Car Doctor. I want to thank you for stopping by, and I'm glad to be here with you. Mr. Ray, I think we have something to give away this hour, don't we? This hour or next hour? When would you like to do it?
I don't know. Let's see how the callers are.
I've got an
IROC book.
Yeah, an IROC book, right? IROC Porsche. Is it Porsche or Porsches? Porsches.
I thought it was Porsches. I just went outside and painted it green.
No, never mind. It's Porsches. The IROC Porsches book by Matt Stone, forwarded by George Fulmer, talking all about the IROC Porsches race and the race of champions. That just some exciting stuff. We've got a picture of the book up on our Facebook page. We're glad to give that away this week. Let's do it this hour, next hour. I don't know which. Maybe somebody will want it for Dad for Father's Day, but that's up for grabs this show this weekend. So just be aware, and just want to let you know. Let's pull over, take a pause, and when we come back, we'll go over to Rod in Washington State. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. Don't go anywhere.
Little GTO, you're really looking fine. 3 deuces and a 4-speed and a 389.
Need advice on how to maintain that classic GTO? Ron is the guy. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Hey, let's get over and talk to Rod in Washington State. Rod, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I called and talked to you last weekend about the transmission on my 06 Tundra.
Right, yep.
And I took it in. I took it back in on Monday, and they had it for 2 days. They gave it back to me, and they told me that this is 155,000 miles on it, and this is the second time I've done the timing belt water pump transmission service. They claimed that the previous person that worked on the transmission put the wrong filter and the wrong gasket in, and that was causing the fluid in the transmission to foam up and cause the inability for the transmission to operate properly. They called it a fail-safe mode.
Wait a minute. Let's back up and refresh my memory. You had taken it into the dealer, and it ran right. Fine, right? Everything was great.
Yes.
Okay, and correct me when I'm wrong. And they did a timing belt and trans service, and they did a bunch of fluids and maintenance. And then when you got it back right away, there was a problem.
Yes.
Who did the first prior repairs? You don't know. Was it somebody else or the same dealer?
No, I know. It was a local repair shop.
But it was
not a dealer.
But it was, you know, some time ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
And they're saying what happened 7 years ago affected the trans today?
Yeah. I'm having a tough time believing it too.
Do you eat cold cuts?
Yeah.
Do you like bologna?
No, it's not one of my favorites.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I think you're getting a bologna sandwich at $1.59 a pound, brother. You know, that just...
Yeah,
I
couldn't agree with you more.
that just makes no sense. You know, stories like this convince me that no one single entity can be responsible for repairing our cars. You know, there's comments from both sides of the table, right, where some people say, well, independent repair shops shouldn't be allowed to have the technology to repair cars. And then there's the ones that say that the dealers, you know, should be the only ones, or the dealers shouldn't be the only ones. And it's because of these scenarios, I have to side with everybody should have equal access to information. I'm sorry. But by the same token, they should take the responsibility. They should be required to do training. They should be required to be certified. Because the dealer is, in essence, blaming something that happened 7 years ago? Show me the logic of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's exactly how I feel.
You know, that just makes no sense to me. I would question that 100%. You know, that's like saying, well, maybe this is a valid point. If the guy came and put the roof on my house and there was water damage going back 7 years and I saw the inside of the timbers all rotted and, you know, I lived with a water leak for the better part of 3 of the 7 years, I could buy that. But to go from everything's great, I take it in, you service it, and all of a sudden it's bad? Here's the important question. Did they charge you anything?
Yeah, they gave me a 50% discount on the labor because I called Toyota corporate headquarters. And because of that call, they gave me 2 hours of free labor on a 4-hour job. But I'm still not buying their whole rationale and why it went bad.
Yeah, I'm not.
Problem.
I'm not either, brother. I would be wary and leery of where you're getting your vehicle serviced the next time. It's time to get a relationship going with somebody that makes sense because those guys want to be in the sandwich business and bologna's only going to go up in price. Good luck to you, Rod. I appreciate the call and I appreciate letting us know what happened. We always want to hear back. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We'll return right after this. The Car Doctor. You know, I absolutely loved that last call simply because our opening call from was it Roy in Washington State about the Toyota with regards to I want the follow up, right? I want to know what happens. You know, every week you hear me say, hey, you know, give me a call back. Let me know how it worked out, what happened and so forth. I want to know that. You know, as a matter of fact, William wants to know that too. William's a regular listener. He sent me an email. Ron, I love the show and I've learned a lot. I also pick up the podcast when I miss the show. And I want to let you know that every week you have callers who present you with very interesting car problems. You ask for your assistance to fix their car. You always respond with helpful and interesting solutions. For some reason, it seems as though callers rarely report back to you, even though you always encourage them to do so. If you're hearing back from these callers via email or some other way, I would love to hear the follow-up from the previous week's call in order to finish the car fix story. Thanks for a great radio show. And for RA Automotive, sincerely, Bill from Newport News, Virginia. You know, Bill, I want to know, too. Listen, I'm getting as much of an education here as you guys are because I hear some things that some of the commentary and some of the feedback, and it tells me socially where the car sits in the world and, you know, mentally how you're absorbing what you have to do to fix and maintain the car. And we've had some really interesting calls over the past 30 years that, needless to say, you know, Tom and I look at each other and go, huh, really? at the very least. You know, some of them make Tom pull his hair out. If you saw Tom, you'd know what I was saying. So, in any event, let's just encourage you. Please call us back. We want to know what the fix was. Yes, Tom.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
When was the last time you bought bologna?
I don't.
Ah, well, because I'm looking at my grocery store's website right now.
Yeah.
It's $3.99 a pound, dude. Well, it's not $1.59.
Well, there you go. I don't want to make it more expensive than it is. So, yeah, but you see, in Jersey, it's not real bologna. Did you know that?
Oh.
Yeah, well, in Jersey, come on, this is the land of the Sopranos. In Jersey, your bologna has 5 o'clock shadow, so it doesn't really, it's cheaper filler meat in any event. Let's leave it there. Let's go to Jamie in Mississippi, 81 Dodge Van. Jamie, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Well, Ron, my name's Jimmy.
Oh, hey, Jimmy, I'm sorry.
It's a 2001 Town and Country.
Okay.
3.3.
Right.
I bought the truck about 8 years ago. It gets great gas, mileage runs good. My daughter and her husband had a wreck, tore their truck up, so I give it to them. They run it for about 2 months. It got to missing real bad. I checked it. It was, you can pull a number 2 wire off the coil pack, put a screwdriver in there, and hold on to it. It ought to unjoint your elbow. Now, before I go any further, I'm a master shade tree mechanic.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. I went out there and told that mechanic it's not the plugs and the wires. It's a coil pack. My computer don't lie to me. Your computer's dumb as dirt then. spent $300 having wires, plugs, and everything else done to it. Brought it home, it run like dirt.
Right.
And I decided it was the solenoid in the transmission. And I fixed to order me one. And I talked to a friend of mine, a mechanic, used to have a radio show down in Melton, Florida. He told me, he said, that's not what it is, Jimmy. He said, take your battery cables off your battery. And touch them together, it's going to arc. It's going to get rid of all your electricity. But what I usually do, I pull my ground off. I go in there and turn my lights on, my ignition, bump it, purge the system. There's no electricity left in it. I'll get all back up, wait just a minute and crank it, and then let it run a minute. Then I take it out and drive it. And what it does, the computer had to reset itself to factory because it will take information in from the motor, how it's running now, and tell it what to do. You got to get rid of all of that and make it back factory fresh.
Right. Jimmy, you're talking about getting rid of adaptives. All right.
The vehicle. Get rid of a gremlin is what it is.
Well, you're modifying and getting rid of adaptives. I mean, it might work on a 2001 or a 2003. I'd hate to see you do that on a 2021 vehicle.
Well, this much under there now, you've got to know how to cuss in 5 languages just to raise the hood.
Right. Well, you know, you do that on a 2021 vehicle, and there's a reason I'm saying this, you stand a chance of erasing calibrations that have to be rewritten using a scan tool or some other computer device. And I'm not arguing with you, brother. I'm just telling you, it's just not a good habit to get into. Did disconnecting the battery solve your problem?
Yes, it did. The truck's still running fine. It's been a year and a half ago.
Okay. Well, what?
Had a guy on there had 3 solenoids last week on his transmission. It was messing with him. I didn't get the model of the make of the year, you know, but three solenoids. This may fix it. It may not.
Right.
I would just pass that information out there. Take it with a grain of salt. All I can say is it worked for me.
Now, let me ask you this. With your 2001, with your caravan or your van that you were just talking about, he replaced plugs and wires but didn't do a coil.
He didn't do a coil.
Okay, and then I replaced the coil myself. All right, and it still ran terrible.
Well, it shifted out, did. The motor running better, but it shifted out weird.
Right.
It would go off in the, you'd be ready to shift into high gear with it, it'd go off in a limbo like a transmission slipping.
Okay.
You'd have to come to stop, put it back again, let it take over again.
You know, without knowing, was trans fluid low? Would ever service the trans, ever change trans fluid?
I've changed the fluid in it myself.
Okay. You know, it was a case that, you know, adaptives. Do you ever run the mile, Jimmy?
I can't even walk a mile.
Well, but, you know, back in the day, You know, okay.
Well, no. I've got asthma.
Okay.
And two bad knees. I can't do nothing like that. So I know how it does get huffy and puffy. Yeah.
Right. So you know, it reaches its mechanical limit, and then electrically it reaches a limit, and then you reset it by disconnecting the battery. But adaptives try to modify and change it to maintain a certain level of performance. Same thing in a human being. Same thing in a car. Right. You with me?
Yep.
So maybe, and I'm making some assumptions here, which is a dangerous word and a dangerous thought. You know, it's possible.
I know the meaning of the two words.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know you do. I just want to keep this family radio, brother.
Yes.
You know, it just might be that, you know, you change the adaptives and something changed in the way that vehicle was driven and it just didn't come back. Listen, it worked, right? It's a 18-year-old vehicle. In that case, it worked.
I don't know at what point of time they changed the computers up so this wouldn't work.
Right.
I just know it worked on the 2001.
Right, and it's just, and you know, listen, part of my responsibility here is, you know what, there are some backyard conversion shade tree mechanic tricks that do work. You know, I'm not saying they don't, but I'm just telling you, going forward on the newer stuff, I'm not saying I agree with it. Listen, my idea of technology sometimes is a 72 Monte Carlo. I think that's just fine. But, you know, it's. I don't want to encourage people to start disconnecting battery cables because they're going to get themselves in trouble. You know, where would I have started with that 2001? Of course, the first thing I would have done is just scan it for codes. What information is there? Look, I'll tell you what. I had a 99 Toyota Avalon in the shop this week that I couldn't get any information on. It was a struggle just trying to get anything to go. And one of the reports that I read talked about I had to find the blend door actuator, the temperature blend door actuator, and disconnect it and put it into reset. And part of me was tempted to, because it's buried behind the dash, do I disconnect the battery cable? I couldn't bring myself to do it on a 99. I wouldn't do it on a 2001. I found the actuator, took the time, and diagnosed it the right way. So just be careful about what you're disconnecting. I appreciate your call, Jimmy. You be well. I'm Ron Anani and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.
Here in my car, I can only receive. I can listen to you.
Welcome back, Ron Neen, the Car Doctor. By the way, Tom, this IROC Porsche book that we want to give away, this might be more valuable than we realize. Karsten posted up on Facebook that Pablo Escobar's IROC 911 just sold for $2.2 million.
Really?
Is the book worth $2 million? No, the book's probably not worth $2 million, but if it's...
Neither are we.
Neither are we. So I just, but so anyway, IROC Porsche's book is still up for grabs. Tom hasn't made a decision. Has anybody asked you about it, Tom? Nobody even knows it's here. They just want to talk to me.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No one said anything.
All right, so we'll, hey, listen, we'll hold it till next week if nobody asks for it. But it's got to be, you know, it's. I don't want to just give it away to anybody. I want somebody that's going to appreciate it to, you know, because as Karsten points out there, you know, $2.2 million Porsche. Who's Pablo Escobar? You'll have to tell me later. I'm not really sure. So maybe he's a bad guy. No, I don't know. Let's go over to Donovan in Indiana. 07 Lincoln MKX and a lean running condition. Donovan, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help? Donovan? Donovan going once. Donovan going twice. No Donovan. Donovan?
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Good, sir. It takes a while. The electrons to Indiana take longer. We have to kind of go around the, you know, there's a power flux somewhere around the middle part of Ohio. So how can I help you today, sir?
I have a 2007 Lincoln MKX.
Okay.
I took it to my mechanic because it was leaking oil from the gasket.
Okay, which gasket?
The manifold gasket.
Intake manifold.
But it ran great. It ran great until they did the gasket while he was there, and I said, since you got torn apart, go ahead and do new coils. I put new coils in the back.
Right.
Pretty good in the back.
Right.
He did that. Gave it to me. And instantly I noticed it was misfiring and a shutter, a shaking. So I took it, got it diagnosed. They get that P0171 lean bank one.
Right.
Back to him, and he's had it for about 2 months and can't find what the reason is.
So, you know, okay, let's have the conversation this way. Do you know what fuel trim is, Donovan?
Yes.
Okay. So he's looking at, you know, he should be able to see fuel trim one bank versus the other. One's rich, one's lean, or one's normal, one's lean. Is he looking at bank two just to see what it looks like? And the reason I say that is, how does a vehicle set a trouble code? All right, and it's a rhetorical question. If a fault code occurs regarding fuel trim because the vehicle hits 25% fuel trim, if bank one goes to 25% and bank two is at 22%, bank two won't set a code, will it? But bank one will. Does that mean there's a problem across the board? It's a very different diagnosis looking for a fault code or a lean condition on one bank versus two banks. So your first suggestion to him is what, or first comment, question, suggestion is, what's fuel trim on bank two? Is bank two normal, bank one lean? Great. If bank one's lean and bank two is approaching failure, different diagnosis. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. Second.
I have a question for you, though, doctor.
Go ahead.
My father says that a lot of those, at different speeds, it'll step down from a 6 to a 4. And he says sometimes it'll still be giving for 6, and it's supposed to step down to 4.
Well, you know, let's not deal with hearsay. Let's diagnose this. First question, lean both banks or lean one bank? Second question, does your mechanic have access to propane? He should be using some sort of a sniffer, either propane. I don't like carb clean. Carb clean is too wild and volatile. You know, the better shops, in my opinion, will use propane hooked up to a metering device, and there's various ones out there that will allow them to gently sniff around and see where does the vehicle pick up fuel trim. Where does it change?
Oh, I know he's not using that then. Because okay. He told me he's using smoke or something.
Yeah, tell him to get past smoke. Smoke is only good under certain conditions, and most smoke machines only put out 1 PSI or less. So it may not be enough pressure to actually produce the leak. So I'm going to put him on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot. Go back, ask him those two questions and comments. You call me back next week and tell me what the answers are, and then we'll continue the diagnosis. And please, Donovan, call me on a better phone. This one was kind of breaking up. It made it tough on us, but I want to talk to you again 100%. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I want to comment on our last call from Donovan. First of all, I want to comment on this regarding this whole hour that, you know, we're still hearing things. Look at what I've learned this hour from you guys, that we're still doing things the old-fashioned way. We're disconnecting batteries in the hopes and the attempts of clearing out problems. You can't do that anymore. You've got to get out of that habit because you're going to disconnect something on a newer vehicle and you're going to be behind the eight ball. And whether you're a professional, a do-it-yourselfer, or just a vehicle owner, that's not proper procedure. ADOS won't allow for it. Electric cars are going to change the way we think about diagnosis. We've got to learn to diagnose right from the get-go. I want to talk about the shop that's got the car for 2 months with a lean fuel condition code, and they're checking it using smoke. So, you know, we ran out of time there with Donovan, and his phone connection wasn't the greatest. But, you know, understand, a smoke machine works up to a certain limit. Depending upon the machine, it's anywhere from 3/4 of a pound to 1.5 pounds of pressure. That's it. And vacuum is different than pressure. I can't begin to tell you how many air conditioning systems I've worked on in my 45-plus year career where I'll pull a vacuum, put refrigerant in it, and it leaks because a pressure leak reacts differently than a vacuum leak. An AC system, when it's building pressure and the seals are pressurized because the compressor's on or the system just has refrigerant in it, reacts differently than if it's pulling a vacuum. One of the things that I hold near and dear to my heart is a letter that my little Ananian wrote when she was going to school to be a psychologist, and she talks about how my dad inspired me because my dad taught me to think outside the box. And she goes on to say how psychologists are like mechanics of the mind. And there's a whole great letter she gave me, and I hold it in my office. It hangs up. My point is, you've got to think outside the box. If what you're doing doesn't work, don't take 2 months to sit there and keep throwing a dart against the wall. Think of another way to do it. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you absolutely, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.